Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful song. Well, having just come through another Christmas season, which I know we love, I sure do. I always love to, especially the Christmas story from the book of Luke every year. I never get tired of that. But you know, I was thinking about asking the Lord, you know, what do we need to hear this Sunday? And it's a very simple idea came to me that, you know, once you come through Christmas, just taking a look at the early ministry of Jesus, you know. The other Gospels, besides Matthew, shed a little bit of light on Jesus' teenage years, his boyhood. There's a little bit there. But in the Gospel of Matthew, it kind of goes right from Christmas, the wise men, and Herod, and all of that, to the start of Jesus' early ministry. So there's a big jump right up to the start of Jesus' earthly ministry. So as we get into that a little bit this morning, I'd like to pray and invite the Lord to speak to us through his word in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 2 with a couple of verses and go from there. So let us pray. Thank you again, Lord, that you wrote to us. I thank you that you're the best kind of father, Lord, and you didn't leave us in the dark, but you wrote to us. You wrote to us all about your son. You wrote to us about your love. You wrote to us about heaven. You wrote to us, Lord, because you loved us and you wanted us to have a map. You wanted us to have guidance. You wanted us to have the way. And so we invite you to speak to us through your word. Thank you for everybody here today. I pray for anybody here today that's especially been going through any painful experiences, God. Lord, you know when we go through those things, and I pray that you would just minister to that person today especially. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 2, I just want to look at two verses before we get into the early ministry of Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." You know, You and I, we've all heard this little saying, and it's one of those old sayings that's true. It was the saying that wise men, and of course women, still seek him. How many have heard that? Wise men still seek him. Sometimes you see it on a church sign. It's a good thing. I like that. But these wise men, some commentators say that could have been way more than just three of them, could have been a bunch of them. But they were like magicians back in their home country. They were guys that would study the stars. And by the way, I'm not recommending astrology. It's forbidden in the Old Testament, you know, so please stay away from horoscopes and astrology. That's not endorsed here in the Bible. But these guys were into astronomy and astrology. And also, they could have known that the book of Daniel, which was 500 years before this time, was written and talked about 70 weeks, which when you do all of the math, it comes out to about 483 years to the birth of Messiah. So these guys might have known Daniel's prophecy about that, as well as seeing this star. And so they show up. They arrive, and they wanted to know, well, where is he? Where's this king, this new king? And we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, Trudy pointed out a quote to me recently that comes from a writer by the name of A.W. Tozer. And some of you might have read his books. He said this. He said that sometimes contemporary Christians, of which I am, you are, sometimes contemporary Christians kind of go with a spurious logic, which means a faulty logic, which says this, that those who know the Lord no longer need to seek the Lord. Did you ever hear that before? I saw one guy, he graduated from the Hope Center. He went his whole year and, you know, kind of seemed like he was doing well outwardly. But when he got done, his sort of position was, well, I don't really need to read the Bible anymore. I've kind of read it a lot. And I don't really need to go to church anymore because I've been to a lot of services while I was in the Hope Center. And guess what? Not too long, he went down in relapse. You know, because he just felt like, well, I've read the Bible and I've been to church, so I just don't need that right now. And so he kind of went downhill. I don't know about you, but I need to gather. Amen. I need my brother. Listen, how many remember the old barbecue where you had the little briquettes, right? Not the gas logs, but the briquette. And you get it going, you squirt the juice on there, it comes up flame, and then it's starting to get red and coals. Well, if you take the tongs and you take one out and put it on the sidewalk, what happens? It dies. So if you want to get it going again, you pick it up with the tongs and you stick it back in there and fan it a little, maybe squirt a little more juice on it, and it'll get nice and toasty again. So listen, I need Christian fellowship. I need my brothers in Christ. I need my sisters in Christ. I need my wife's input in my life. I need you all. We need each other. Amen? So forgive me if I say amen too much. I'm trying to stop that. Sorry about that. It's a habit. You got any habits? I got habits. You know what? I always start shaving on this side. How about you, Jeff? I always start shaving. I notice that. I never start over here. It's like we all do it the same way. You know? That's why me and Trudy are always sitting in that seat and you all are sitting in your seat. We just are people of habits. So. But anyway, we need fellowship and we need the Word. When pastors fail, which there's a ministry online, it's called Pure Life Ministries, and this is a place of pastors that get messed up and they foul up and they maybe have an affair or some crazy thing like that and they backslide or something. If they want to come back to Christ and get back in the fellowship, they go to this thing, it's called Pure Life Ministries, and without exception, they all went into failure because their devotional life started to lag. Their time with the Lord. They got too busy with ministry, and it just sacrificed their time of seeking the Lord themselves. So I hope that each and every one of us, it's a new year, I hope you're in the Word every day. Take a little bit of time. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. If you ate once a week of a meal at home, you'd starve, you know. Your body would starve. Same thing, your spirit needs food all the time. And I like to suggest that you read the Bible conversationally. I mean, you read just a little bit, talk back. Make it a conversation. If you've never tried that, it's very blessed. You read a little bit and then talk back. Talk about what you've been reading. And if you struggle with prayer, that can help get your engine going and you can pray. Just make it a conversation with your Lord. So that's about the wise men. One of the things that can help you and I be a wise man, a wise woman, a wise young person. Hey there, CJ, Bethenia. We love you guys, man. I'm so glad you're here. You're going to be a man of God. You know that? You are. Praise the Lord. But listen, to be a wise man, to be a wise woman, a wise young person, you know what? We want to be forward-looking people, of course, but you know what's helpful sometimes is take a look behind you. And sometimes in my morning devotions, you know, I've told you before, I just like to take the bread and the cup, and I do it every day. You don't have to do that. I'm not suggesting you do that. I do it every day. But when I'm thinking about the bread and the cup and his death on the cross for me and what all that means, sometimes I look back to my past and I think about the idiotic, crazy, sinful stuff I did as a young person or recently, you know? It's okay to think about, and let me show you that. It's if you keep your finger there, but let's look in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1 for just a second. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah chapter 51. This is an interesting verse here, Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You know, this is a backward-looking verse. It says, and I, you know what spoke to me on it? Hey, John, look at the pit from which you were dug. I mean, I've never really shared my testimony, my story with you all, but I came from a pit. I felt like the lowest of the low. I felt complete failure in my life by age 23. You know, I mean, I really messed it up. I lost a marriage. I don't know if I've told you that, but I got married to a girl in college. I shouldn't have got married. We weren't Christians. You don't build a marriage without Christ. It's not going to work. So 1 year into that marriage, we had no children, but she divorced me and found another guy. So that was when 1975, way back in the day. But I went through a couple of years just bouncing around the state of Alaska working construction. My lifestyle was basically try to not get fired, get to your Friday paycheck, and then head to the bar. Party time. That's the way, you know, there's a lot of people living like that today. Well, that's the way I lived. And a couple of years went by. I met Trudy in about 1977 or so. We started a relationship, again, without Christ, so it was not on a good foundation. Trudy and I just got together, started living together, not the right way to go. And then 8 months into that relationship, Trudy decided that she was going to leave. She was decided that we maybe didn't have a future together and she needed some space. So she left Alaska and she went back to Hawaii where she used to live. That's 2,500 miles away. I didn't know if I'd ever see her again. I didn't want to lose her. But that was the point in my life. I was about 25 at that time. That was the point in my life where I realized my life is not going the way that I wanted it to go. I'm a failure. I just realized that this is not what I wanted life to be. And so what it did was it made me pray. I hadn't been to any church in 10 years. I never really read the Bible myself because I didn't grow up in a Bible-believing church. But this dilemma, this crisis made me pray. So I'm just looking back a little bit to the pit from where I came from. That's what this verse says to do. And so, anyway, she left Alaska, went back to Hawaii. I stayed in Alaska. But a miracle happened. Because for the first time in my life, I began to find some peace. And the reason was, I said a prayer, a very simple prayer like this. I said, God, I cannot keep Trudy here. She's going to leave. But now, at least I know I'm going to have you. And I meant it. I knew that Jesus was what I was missing. Has anybody ever come to that point in your life where you realized you needed Jesus, that he was the missing ingredient? Is there anybody else out there that came to the realization you needed Jesus? Because without life, it ain't working? Well, that's where I was. And so I'm alone in Alaska. Guess what? I didn't have to go hit the bars anymore. Didn't have to go get the party. You know, I played guitar all my life. I used to go to the bar and play guitar, hopefully get a party going, you know, because I was so lonesome. Didn't have to go get drunk anymore. And so Trudy went to Hawaii. Guess what she did in Hawaii? She connected with the Lord. She read the Gospel of John, and she got saved. And so back in those days, there were no cell phones, you know. There was no email. Oh, well, guess what? I got a letter in the mail. I said, wow. She wrote. How about that? So I wrote back. Snail mail. Put a stamp on. Huh. A week later, another letter comes back. Well, how about that? So a few weeks go by, and I had turned to the Lord. I'd begun reading the Bible, begun praying. And I figured, well, Lord, maybe we could see each other again. Maybe there's a possibility of a future. So I bought a plane ticket, went to Washington State. I stayed there for a week or two. My sister lived there. I did a job. I'm a carpenter. I did a roof job while I was there. Got another letter from Hawaii. I thought, that's good. So I went over there. I arrived at Kailua Kona Airport on the Big Island. Guess what? She came to meet me at the airport. Well, that's pretty neat. And anyway, I think we both realized something had changed from what our relationship was before, because we didn't know the Lord. But now, something was different. So we made a mistake. Partly to save money, we moved in together. Again, that's a no-no. We're just starting our journey with Christ. So a sister, we started to find a church. We found a little Hawaiian church, little Hawaiian people. It's about this many people, sweet people. And one of the ladies from the church came over, knocked on our door, and her name was Patty, and she said, "John and Trudy, we love you, but I have to tell you something. There's a scripture in the book of James that says, to avoid the appearance of evil. So you're staying together in this." Now, we weren't sleeping together, but we were in the same house, right? Trying to save money, whatever. So she said, avoid the appearance of evil. See, what this looks like is you're living together. We don't want to send that message to other Christians, especially young people, that this is okay. So we moved out. Trudy went to stay with her sister-in-law. And I was trying to get up the nerve to propose. I was afraid to propose. All right, guys, time for truth here, all right? Time for truth, men. Are there any other men out there that when it came time to propose, you were a little scared? Come on. Anybody else besides me, you were a little scared about it?
I'm not old
enough. Okay. All right. Well, I was afraid. Now, probably not for the reason you were afraid. I was afraid because of my past. You see, when I was 23, my first wife divorced me after a year. So I had that on my past. And I still didn't know the Bible very well, so I thought, well, maybe God is mad at me and I can't start over. I was afraid to propose marriage for that reason, because I didn't want to sin and have God's judgment over my head. So what that did, maybe this has happened to you when you have a problem, it made me open the book. And I had to find some answer here. And I was a brand new Christian, and when I came upon 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, God spoke to my heart. He said, "John, therefore, if any man is now in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." When I read that verse in Hawaii, I felt like God said to me, "John, I can forgive you for what you messed up. I can forgive. I can give you a new start." I just felt like a burden was lifted off my heart, because I was afraid. I was afraid. So on Halloween night, 1978, we're up on the fifth floor balcony of a hotel overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous, right? Perfect spot. And I popped the question. Halloween night, I said, "Trudy," I said, "would you marry me?" Guess what she said?
No.
She said, "Is this a trick or a treat?" I'm not kidding you. That's what she said. "This is a trick or a..." So anyway, we had a short engagement because we were broke. I was making $5 an hour. We had a 10-day engagement, and we got married on a beach in Hawaii for $200. Public beach. I mean, I'm just confessing. We got the rings at the pawn shop. I was a hippie. I was making $5 an hour. I didn't have any money, right? But praise the Lord, this is our 42nd year of marriage, and God has blessed us. God gave us a new start. And I'll be honest with you, fellas and ladies, when I first went into the jails 25 years ago to start jail ministry, I'm going to tell you something. I felt right at home. You know why? Because I'm talking to some people that failed. And I know what failure's like. I know what it's like to cry because your life is a mess. And you're totally alone and you're rejected and you failed and you've messed it up and you made the parents mad, you made the in-laws mad, you can't even hold a job. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to go to the cheap bars and just get drunk because you just don't know what else to do. I know what that's like. So when I started going into the jails, I felt like I'm home. And you know, God is changing people in those jails. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He leaves the 90 and the 9 and he goes after that one little sheep that gets stuck in the brambles. He'll go. Isaiah 57 verse 15 gives his two addresses. Thus says the high and the holy one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also who is of a humble and a contrite spirit to revive the spirit of the contrite ones. Contrite means crushed. If you've ever been crushed in your life and Jesus came to you, you know what? God can help you to reach out to people who are crushed by life. So wise men still seek him. Wise women, even though you've been saved, you know what? We need him more than ever. Stick with him close this new year. He's coming back. Keep yourself, keep your lamp burning. So sometimes it's okay to look back. You know, maybe you have a past that's nothing like mine was. But you know what? When you really let the light shine in to our heart, you know what? We're all made out of the same stuff. I mean, all of us have had horrible thoughts towards somebody else. We've said things that have hurt people. You know, I've done thousands of things like that. And so it is okay to look back sometimes. And then, you know, Jesus will give us his grace and we can now move forward. You know, the blood. How many are glad that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible? That's one of my favorite memory verses. You know what that? You should know it if you don't. It says, say it with me. Everybody say it with me that knows it. If we confess our sins, come on, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. No, all unrighteousness. You know, we Christians are not partially forgiven. We're totally forgiven. And you know, that should make you want to dance once in a while. It really should. Amen? You should never get tired of that. Amen? Amen. We're totally forgiven. What a deal. That's the best. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen? So, you know, Paul was obviously a wise man, but Paul said, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his son. Wait a minute, Paul, you're a man of God, you're an apostle, you're going to write 13 books of the New Testament. What are you saying that you may know him? You know what he says? I'm pressing on. Let's get to know Jesus better in this new year than we ever have before. Let's put him first every day. Let's let him fill our hearts with love that we can go out and share with people who need him, people who are crushed, people who are hurting. Life, how many believe life will beat you up? You know, you don't have to go far out these doors and you're going to run into some folks that are, they're getting beat up by life. So, oh man, let's reach out. Amen. All right, so we're going to skip ahead here just a little bit and we're just about out of time. But I want to give you a little peek into what I think will be coming 2 weeks from today. Eric's going to preach next Sunday, but Lord willing, when we come back 2 weeks from today, I want to start in with the early ministry of Jesus. In chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, we're going to start in a couple of weeks with this early ministry of Jesus. We're going to travel with Jesus when he's just getting started in his early ministry. And the first one to show up is John the Baptist. Amen. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. You know, we need preaching. I need preaching. We need it. That's another reason why don't don't let yourself get down and discouraged or whatever and just stay away from other Christians and gatherings. Stick with them, amen? Just stick together. You got to do it. Keep that coal burning, right? We need the Word of God. We need a real devotional life ourselves. He was in the wilderness of Judea. You know, one of the Gospels said that so-and-so was the governor, so-and-so was the emperor, so-and-so was the king. These guys were the high priests. But the word of the Lord came to this guy way out in the wilderness. Go figure. You know, sometimes God will bypass all of the high-class places where all the movers and the shakers meet, you know, the governor people, the high people in the churches, whatever. He'll just bypass all of that because sometimes people aren't really seeking God there. And, you know, he'll go way out to the wilderness and he finds this guy, John the Baptist. Wow. You know what? Don't ever be afraid of what some have called the school of obscurity. I read something this morning that was written in 1961 about a questionnaire that was given to seminary people. This is 1961. And I don't know what seminaries they were questioning, but the numbers were very, very high that these seminarians did not believe Jesus was divine. Very, very high that they did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. Things like that in seminaries, right? So I'm all for bachelor's, master's, PhD, your MDiv, your Master of Divinity. I'm all for that. But that does not necessarily mean it's a man or woman of God. And that looks nice on the wall, that degree, that seminary thing and all of that. But the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. Maybe you feel like sometimes you're in the wilderness, kind of in an obscure place and don't have a very wide circle of ministry in your particular life. But I want to tell you what, you're in good company because you're in the same league with John the Baptist. One thing he knew is he knew God. John the Baptist knew the Lord. For 400 years, the Bible was silent. Ever since the book of Malachi, it's called the 400 silent years before another prophet's voice was heard. John was the last of the prophets. But for 400 years, silent. God was silent. But who did he choose to speak through? A guy that was out in the wilderness. A strange sort of fellow. Obscure. Amen. Could we all stand for just a minute? I'd like to pray for us. And could we close our eyes and just bow our head for a second? I'm going to ask, do you ever feel, is there anybody here that ever feels like you're kind of not used by God and maybe the way that you'd like to be, or maybe not influencing people the way that you'd like to be? Maybe like God has sort of bypassed you in some way. Does anybody else feels that way sometimes? Lift your hand. Well, I want to tell you as we pray, Father, I want to thank you that you bypass the whole religious system, all of the big government places. And Lord, you chose to break that 400-year silence by speaking to a man who was out in the wilderness in an obscure little corner of the Holy Land. And you spoke through John. God, I lift up those who are maybe feeling like they're in the school of obscurity, like maybe their life doesn't really count for a whole lot in the kingdom. But God, would you just show them that their relationship with you is very, very precious. Father, it's a wonderful thing when somebody is seeking you in the Word and they're praying. And God, I know that you will use our lives in our generation, because we know that all around us are people who have lost their way. Some of them are crushed. Some of them are rebellious. Some of them don't want to hear it, but that's okay. God, help us to know that you will speak through our life and through our words, even though we may be in a very obscure place. And we thank you, God, for your love. Use us here as men and women, boys and girls of Beulah Baptist Church. Make us a blessing in our circles, God, in our families, among our friends. Use our lives, Lord, to touch others for your glory. And we do thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Linda, would you come? Praise the Lord. Number